From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Thursday, February 19th, 2026. On today's show, medical students at Washington State University are helping to launch a program to help decrease language barriers for non-English speakers seeking health care. Plus, Sandpoint is considering adding a sales tax to pay for infrastructure updates, so residents and visitors both help shoulder the rebuilding costs. And we hear the story of a Venezuelan man who brought his passion for wood carving with him to Spokane after fleeing his home. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Washington State University medical students are looking to help non-English speakers overcome language barriers with their healthcare providers. SPR's rural affairs reporter and Murrow News fellow Monica Carrillo Casas has more.
Carmela Crooks and Victoria Caldera, both Venezuelan, are leading a pilot project that would help increase the number of certified medical interpreters. Caldera says they were inspired by their own experiences.
I worked in an emergency room, and it was a pediatric emergency room. It was predominantly Latino, Spanish speaking, and I had parents who were running to me and not the doctor or the nurse, even though I was just a scribe, like I just took notes for the doctor, but they trusted me because it was very clear that Spanish was my native language and that I understood the culture.
Luis Manriquez, the university's director of community health equity, says the student-led effort is backed by WSU and Nuestras Raíces. Even though the university is providing institutional support, certification costs are being covered by Watersmeet Foundation, which will fund 10 students, and Nuestras Raíces, which will cover 3.
Many times, even though there's a desire to provide interpretation for people for the appointment, like there isn't someone there or there isn't someone available, and that's not the standard that we're teaching our students.
Manrique says if the students' pilot project is successful, the university may explore ways to formally integrate it into the medical school curriculum. He says the 13 students will start a 6-month training period in May. Monica Carrillo Casas, reporting.
Organizations representing police in Washington say they fear unintended consequences from state lawmakers' proposed ban on face masks. They say the ban seems aimed at federal immigration agents, but could penalize local officers who need masks in hazardous weather, for example. Jeff DeVere is a lobbyist for the Washington Council of Police and Sheriffs, a labor organization.
Frankly, we do not like this bill. This was aimed at another group of folks, not at our local law enforcement officers who do this right every day.
DeVere says his group is working on an amendment. It would allow state regulators to update the exceptions to the mask ban for health and safety reasons. The House Community Safety Committee heard the bill yesterday after it passed the state Senate last month. The measure already contains exceptions for certain protective gear and for officers working undercover. Last year, Sandpoint voters approved a $130 million bond, potentially the biggest bond measure in Idaho history, to replace the city's wastewater treatment plant. Voters may now be asked to decide whether to impose another local tax to continue paying for infrastructure updates. SPR's Eliza Billingham reports.
Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm wants to ask voters to pass a 1% non-property sales tax so that Sandpoint tourists have to help shoulder the cost to rehab the city's crumbling infrastructure. He proposes that 40% of the tax revenue go towards sewer utility upgrades, including the new wastewater plant. The larger 60% portion would go towards road improvements.
It's literally every day I'm sending someone an email saying we don't have money to fix your road.
Grimm says that sales tax revenue could help offset an increase in utility fees, which are otherwise at risk of climbing to around $200 a month for Sandpoint residents. If residents and visitors are both contributing tax dollars, that could decrease monthly water bills for year-round property owners. Grimm had originally hoped to get the proposal to voters on a special spring ballot, but Sandpoint City Council voted last night to postpone until the fall. They want to make sure voters have the most information possible on personal financial impacts and how the money could be spent. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
The Department of Homeland Security is looking to expand its presence in Washington State. But as KUOW's Gustavo Sagrero reports, some cities are hoping that won't happen.
Seattle and Spokane are two big cities that have just started thinking about bans on detention facilities in their jurisdiction, but one of the first cities to actually do it is in the suburbs. City of SeaTac's Joe Vincent was one of the council members that voted to pass its detention facility moratorium last week. With what land the city has, he wanted to make sure building homes is the focus instead of federal priorities over locking up immigrants.
The city of SeaTac has historically always lobbied for local control and has done its best to advocate for our community, for our residents.
Vincent says many of the residents of SeaTac are rideshare and other gig workers. Over half the population of SeaTac are people born in a different country who later became citizens of the U.S. The moratorium expires in early August of this year. I'm Gustavo Sagredo in Seattle.
A Venezuelan wood sculptor is carving out his community in the Pacific Northwest, years after leaving his country's tense political climate. SPR's rural affairs reporter and Muro News fellow, Monica Carreo Casas, brings us his story.
Every day after working as a financial analyst, Luis Perez goes to his garage to look for his next project. Maybe a bear or a mysterious-looking fox, because Perez doesn't just build with wood, he turns it into art. Perez says his love for wood sculpting started during his teenage years back in Venezuela.
It started as a hobby, to relax. To this day, it still relaxes me.
His dad took on lots of different hobbies and often taught Perez what he learned, including wood sculpting. Perez says this helped him bond with his dad, and he didn't mind it since he loved to learn, he says. He says his move from Venezuela to Spokane didn't change his love of carving. Perez's move came after years of growing hardship in Venezuela. He says by 2016, just a few years after Nicolas Maduro became president, the country was facing severe economic issues and frequent protests. That's when Perez and his wife and kids decided to apply for the diversity visa program.
The four of us got our visa approved in Venezuela and came directly here and started from scratch.
The Diversity Visa Program was created under the Immigration Act of 1990 and began issuing visas in 1995. Designed as a lottery system, it selects up to 50,000 immigrants each year through a randomized computer-based process. The program was paused this past December by the Department of Homeland Security, but in the past, approved applicants get their visas within a year.
Todas las empresas cerraron.
Businesses were closing, so we felt obligated to leave because our kids weren't at fault for what was happening. For the future of our kids, we decided to migrate.
After their 2018 arrival, Perez transformed their garage. Now it often smells like fresh wood and sawdust, just like it once did in his home in Venezuela. About the size of a small bedroom, his garage-turned-woodshop overflows with the tools of his craft. Every corner holds something essential, from blades that slice cleanly through wood to sanders that soften sharp edges. While he says he tries not to spend too much time in his woodshop, he often finds himself working on projects throughout the week. Some items, like a crucifix, could take a day, while others take weeks to complete. Since migrating to Spokane, the Pacific Northwest has become the inspiration behind many of his pieces. He says blue pine wood is one of his favorites to recreate the cloudy skies of Spokane.
God gave us five senses, and I think it's beautiful to leave something done with your five senses.
Perez and his daughter, who is now an architect, bounce ideas off of each other throughout the week. Perez says he goes to local markets to showcase his art, including ones hosted by Latinos in Spokane in high schools. He says his art is his way of leaving a legacy behind to his community. I'm Monica Carrillo Casas, reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Monica Carreo Casas, Amy Radel, Eliza Billingham, and Gustavo Sagrero. I'm Owen Henderson, your host and producer. Eliza Billingham provides digital support. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.